This month, we're focusing on his harvest. And there's a verse there, James 5, 7. I'll read that in a few moments. But we're also focusing on missions, Missions Month, where we provide pledge cards for anyone that has not been financially supporting missions. You might be praying, you know, you might be supporting through prayer. And we ask that you talk to God, get along with God and say, Lord, how can I financially support missions? And then be led by the Lord to give what he tells you. And so we do this because our missionaries have heard from God. They've made a great sacrifice and they've gone here, they've gone there to share the gospel of Jesus. And so as the church, we want to join along them, alongside them. And one of them is, I'm going to read something. They sent us a thank you card. And this is the Forans. They are in Israel. And they said, Dear Pastor Ariola and Hidden Treasures Assembly of God family, greetings from Israel in the name of our Lord Yeshua. We hope this finds you well and blessed. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul commends the Macedonian churches who were overjoyed to give generously even through a great trial of affliction. This is how we think about you. Wow. That despite the great difficulties of the past year of pandemic, you have remained faithful and generous in your prayers and support. For this, we thank you deeply and give glory to God for sustaining you. We pray this year will be filled with God's favor and richest blessings as we continue working together for the Lord of the harvest. Thank you again for all you have done for our family and for the kingdom of God. Servants together, Jack and Dawn Foran and their family. And so, you know, I read that a couple of times and we got this card before August 1st and I thought I need to share that with the church to encourage them. And I'm not sure how it makes you feel, but for missionaries to compare this church, you, with the Macedonian believers. And if you don't know what that sounds like or what that means, go ahead and read 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let it just linger and sink in and wow. You know, I kind of just think, I'm not worthy. But a missionary family who is out there, who have answered God's call to share the gospel to the world, to the people of Israel, and they are comparing us or saying we're thinking of the Macedonians when we think of Hidden Treasures Church family. And so I'm thankful for all of you who pray and financially support missions. And again, if you don't, I ask that you pray, spend some time and talk with God and say, God, what days can I be praying for the missionaries? Every Tuesday night, 6:30, we have a prayer here at the church. You're more than welcome to come. Or you're at home and you take the time, close off, you know, everyone around you, go find a broom closet and just go pray for our missionaries. And then you could also financially give as well. And so the ushers will have here we go. The ushers, I was like, I left my notes. The ushers will have pledge cards in the back when you exit this afternoon. And so, but our focus is the Lord's harvest. James 5, verse 7 says, Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. I have helped my father grow a couple of vegetables, but I myself have never actually gone out there and, you know, created a certain garden. I've planted things before and then just waited till they die and then just, you know, uproot them and just throw them away. But anyway, so I'm not sure how many of you have ever planted something, but you've done some work before you planted that seed, before you sowed that seed into the ground, you did some work. Then you kept doing some work after you had planted that seed, after you sowed that seed in the ground. And I don't think any of us in our right minds would expect an increase in 1 hour. Used to, I remember Domino's had commercials about 30 minutes or less or it's free. They don't do that anymore, at least that I don't think. You know, a lot of people like things very fast, but those of you that have planted a garden or planted something, you do not expect it to fully produce and mature in 1 hour. I took a roll of film to, some of you are like, what is that? I took a roll of film because someone took some pictures and they wanted them developed. And gone are the days of a person standing behind the counter saying, come back in 1 hour for your pictures. It took more than 7 days to get those pictures back. And so, but anyway, you know, some of you are like, well, why would you even do that? Just use your phone. Well, they didn't use their phone. But I say this to just point out, because I'm going to share something that I concluded with my sermon last week with this statement. It will take our daily, everyone say daily. It will take our daily surrender and availability to the Holy Spirit that will enable us to become His laborers. Because it's His harvest. Not yours, not mine, not hidden treasures. Because the end result is His harvest. And I love that I found this picture. I just Googled it. And we see the harvest of wheat. But then if you look up at the top, the harvest, it's souls. That is God's desire. 2 Peter 3:9, that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. That is the harvest that He is looking forward to. That is the harvest that we need to be toiling and working and laboring and patiently waiting for the Lord with His end result, which is a full harvest. And so I mentioned that we're focusing on missions, and it is the Father's desire that none would perish. The mission for His harvest. And I'm not sure if that is your mission, if your mission is to accomplish His mission, and if you're willing to take it, and don't worry about it, in 30 seconds, nothing's going to blow up like Mission Impossible. But it is a mission that is possible, because it is God that is working in you. It is God that will work through you if you surrender daily and make yourself available to Him daily. Listen, throw out the idea that just because you come to church 1 week, 1 day a week, that you're good to go. No, you have to throw that mentality out, because it is a daily surrender and it is a daily availability of, Lord, where do you want me to go? Lord, who do you want me to talk to? Lord, you're bringing Joe to my mind. Okay, I'm going to pray for him. I don't know what's going on, but Holy Spirit, pray through me. God, I don't know what's going on, but pray. Anybody ever drive past an accident? You're on the road. Quit being a rubbernecker. You know what rubberneckers are? You slow down. You slow everybody else down, and you're actually looking, and you slow. You might hit somebody in front of you, so don't do that. But when you see an accident or even an ambulance, you know, flying by, you begin to pray. And some might say, well, you have no idea what to pray. There is somebody in that ambulance. I don't believe that they're in a rush to get to, you know, go eat somewhere. But the siren's going, the lights are on, there is somebody in there, or they're going to go help somebody in need. Begin to pray for that person, whoever it is. Begin to pray for that family. Most important vital prayer would be, Lord, if they don't know you, I pray that one of the EMT, one of the paramedics that knows you will share the gospel with that person. Amen? And so, let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verses 1, we find a true story of what God did for a man by the name of Cornelius, his family and friends. We find out that they are Gentiles. We find out that they hear about Jesus. We find out that something happens. I know that I'm probably spoiling, you know, spoil alert. But listen, there's 48 verses. We're not going to read all of them. But this is a great chapter for you to go home today, sometime this week, for you and your family, for you and someone else to get together for some coffee and read it and find some nuggets and truth of this passage. Because there is a mission. The harvest is Cornelius, his family and friends, and it is the Lord's harvest, and God wants to use somebody. Just think of the person that really influenced you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. God could have done it himself. He didn't need that person. But we find, even in this passage, it is God's desire to use one person who is a believer in Jesus Christ to share this message of truth, that those people would receive what God has for them. So if you've already received what God has for you, yes, don't come up with excuses, but yes, God wants to use you to speak life into someone else so that they would come to know God's message. And so, Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. And if you'll stand for the reading of that word. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Everyone say always.
Always.
Man. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? I'd be afraid too. So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Lord, I thank you for your word today. Pray, Father, that you would give us revelation, nuggets of truth that we could apply to our lives so that we do not deceive ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want us to look at the kind of person Cornelius was. I want to let you know that he was a centurion. He was a Gentile. He was in the Roman army. And so he was a centurion of the Italian regiment. He was a man in Caesarea, and his name was Cornelius, a devout man. The word devout means committed, faithful. He was faithful to somebody, faithful to God, because it says right after that, who feared God. There are times that some of my decisions don't equate Rick fears God, because some of those decisions are selfish, woke up on the wrong side of the bed, prideful, and I believe as I look around this crowd, not one perfect person here, you've done the same. But it says, who feared God with all his household. That even says something deeper. It's not just him who fears God, but he's teaching and training his whole household to fear God. If you're a parent, highlight, circle, underline, write in your notes, with all his household, then ask, put a little question mark and ask yourself, with my whole household, do we fear God? Do we have some training? Do we have some praying that needs to happen for our whole household? Then it says, who gave alms generously. He gave to the poor. He gave to those in need. It says generously, bountifully. Didn't hold anything back. Reminds me of a verse that one who sows bountifully will what? Reap bountifully. It says he gave alms generously to the people. And prayed to God always. Interesting things that we find about Cornelius here. Yet there was something that he was lacking. The very reason why God disturbed Peter when he was out in someone's house on a patio trying to get his attention, that God has some work for him to do, and that there was a message that needed to be shared with a group of people in Caesarea. They needed to hear about Jesus. It's good that he was devout. It's good that he feared God. It's good that he prayed. It's good that he gave. But you know what? Without Jesus, you're still empty. You're still lacking. I'm not sure how many of you have heard people say, well, I'm good. Well, you know what? Good, okay, but we'll never be good enough to get into heaven without Jesus. Because then, you might want to get them to start thinking and you throw it back at them and say, good based on who's good, your good or my good? But I'll tell you my good is Jesus. I mean, that's what I look as good. That's what I look as great. That's what I look as the only way to get to heaven. It is Jesus. Because not on Rick's goodness, I won't even make it there. So this vision, along with his spiritual hunger, it led Cornelius to respond. It led Cornelius to obey. Let's go to Peter's vision, Acts chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 9 through 20. I'm going to try to do it very, very quickly here. It says, the next day as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on a housetop to pray about the sixth hour. It's roughly about noon. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. Anybody get hungry when you're about to pray or when you're praying? Your mind so many other just different places. You got a to-do list that is now vitally important that you got to do. You weren't doing it earlier, but now that you're praying, it's got to get done now. Yeah. Okay. So he was praying and then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, I guess he had a chef maybe. They made ready for his food. It says he fell into a trance. I want you to understand that God does not dabble in magic. This is not anything that has to do with magic tarot cards or there was a trance or he was looking at somebody's pocket watch going like that. No, God doesn't deal with that. God is all powerful. He doesn't have to deal with any of that. No spells, no casts, none of that. God is all powerful. So possibly Peter was falling into a vision or a dream. And he saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. That's a pretty big sheet. And a voice came to him, said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed you must not call common." Listen, verse 16, this was done three times. I'm wondering, Peter, why are you reluctant to disobey God and not obey what God is telling you to do? How many of you have ever done that? God told you to do something and it takes 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times for him to say, "Okay, are you with me or you're not?" And the object was taken up to heaven again. Now, while Peter pondered within himself, how many of you ever ponder about, is this God? God, are you really? Get behind me, Satan. And it's really the Holy Spirit trying to get you to do what God's wanting you to do. But you don't want to do it because of pride or fear or whatever other selfish reason. So while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate. So while Peter is wondering within himself, what is this dream, vision? What is it? What is God telling me? There was a knock on the door, and the people that Cornelius sent to go find Peter to tell Peter, "Okay, God said that you need to come with us, and you got something to say." And so they asked for Simon, whose surname was Peter. He was lodging there. And Peter thought about the vision, still thinking about it. The Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." God likes to confirm his instructions. You know what we end up doing when he confirms? We're looking for 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 other, you know, write it in the sky, God, so that I know that's exactly what you want me to do. God, when I go outside of this church, put it in clouds that you want me to give this amount of missions, and I'll give it. When he's already been speaking to you by the Holy Spirit. But you're thinking about, you know, other things that need to be purchased, you know, golf club, shoes, you know, rifle, this or other things. And God's already given you an amount. And you just need to take a step of faith. And I encourage you to take a step of faith cheerfully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says God loves a cheerful giver. So whatever amount he gives you to give, even if it's not missions, let's just say it's to somebody else because Cornelius was generous. He was generous in giving alms to the people. Don't try to make excuses. What God is trying to share with you, trying to tell you what to do. So my first point, let's go to the next slide. Hungry for more of God leads to acts of faith. And I come to this point because this is what Cornelius, he was hungry for God. He prayed. He gave alms. He feared God. He was devout to God. And it says that he prayed always. He was hungry for more of God, and this led him to be in a right place, a responsive place, that when God gave him instructions, he acted out in faith. Do you know that the book of Acts is actually called the Acts of the Apostles? It's because God gave them instructions, and they were placing themselves in a responsive state that when God, when the Holy Spirit spoke, they would respond and go do. Now here, it took Peter three times to actually go do this and to understand that this is what God is doing. But Peter, we find that he is wondering within himself and God is confirming this. God had to say this three times and then God is confirming this with a door knock and there's three people. Again, behold, three men are seeking you. You want to know how many people were at the door of Simon the Tanner? Three. Because they were knocking, because that's what the Spirit told Peter. Three men are knocking on the door. Go with them. Then the Spirit says, go with them, doubting nothing. We all remember how Peter likes to say no, right? When Jesus told him that you'll deny. No. I think Peter still is learning his lesson of not saying no to God and just believing it the first time. Cornelius was hungry for more of God, and this led him to be responsive, receptive to God's instructions. Today, if you don't see yourself doing that, repent. God, forgive me. I am not placing myself in a responsive position that when you tell me to do something that I don't find myself doing it. So God, forgive me. Help me to get there. Help me to get in a position where I am more hungry for you than anything else, that when you speak and give me an instruction, I'll do it. And I'll be responsive, and I'll take that step of faith, and I'll act out. Now, as for Peter, he desired more of the physical things. It says that when he was praying, he got so hungry. And then as God was giving him an illustration, do not call things uncommon. You know what God was saying? Do not call these people I'm sending to you, because they're not Jewish, uncommon, or the fact that you cannot go into their house. That was a custom. The custom was Jewish people could not go in and have a company with Gentiles, eat and hang out and chill and talk about God. They couldn't do that. That was the idea. And God was saying, do not call those people unwilling to go and share them the message that you have. And so God was revealing to Peter this. And so, but Peter, this is what happens. When I'm hungry and I'm tired, sometimes, Shannon can attest to you, sometimes I'm irritable. You know, I just get irritable sometimes. Does that happen with anybody else? I'm the only one? All right. Well, hungry, tired, he's on the roof, he's on the patio. This wasn't the first time that he told the Lord no. Okay, so you're not you when you're hungry. Listen, as believers, we're not who we're supposed to be when we are more hungry for other things other than what God has for us, other than, you know, and I mean, I was thinking back this past week and just counting the several times, the many times, where I was just allowing myself to be preoccupied with other things that weren't spiritual, you know, and I, you know, here I am. I hope you don't think that I'm dogging on Peter, because I fall for it too, you know. Can't put that dumb phone down, you know. And so, you know, and just, you know, many times that the Lord was just, you know, trying to get my attention, but there were other things that I was more, I had to read this article, I had to watch this video, and had to watch this game. And how many of you can agree with the fact that you need to read God's word more? Anybody? Right? How about, you know, you might have already had a devotion in the morning, but how about going for seconds, spiritual seconds, you know, just going, finding another devotion, thirds. I mean, we do that for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I mean, I'm not sure how many of you, you're probably just, you know, trying to watch, you know, watch what you eat. But I mean, you know, if mom makes, you know, something, or, you know, husband and wife grills or whatever, I mean, you're wanting an, you know, extra rib, you're wanting an extra, you know, piece of chicken, you're wanting, you know, extra helping of some, you know, some kind of casserole, never salad, right? But, you know, but we do this for physical things, and yet you can answer this to yourself. Do you do that with the spiritual things? And again, my prayer is, God, I want to be more hungry for you than anything else. We encourage that being a prayer when it's time for fasting. You know, every Wednesday, if you don't know this, every Wednesday, the church, the leaders and the teachers are asked to fast and pray for our services. It's not just because we're trying to, you know, it's our, you know, lose weight program. No, we don't have a program like that. We're trying to input a program where, God, I want to be hungry for you, and I'll take time to fast and pray, say no to my flesh and say yes to God, and pray and intercede for the teachers, for the classes, for the students that come in, young or old, that they'll hear the gospel and be changed, that they'll be filled with God's Holy Spirit, that God will begin to do a new thing in their lives and in their family. That's what we do. So if you're not a teacher, you're not a leader here at church, join with us every Wednesday. You decide what you want to fast, you know. I always tell people, I don't ever say that I'm going to fast breakfast. You want to know why? Because I don't really eat breakfast. So if I was to say I'm going to fast breakfast, that's really not a fast, because I don't really eat breakfast. I might have, you know, a toast, or, you know, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with some coffee maybe, but that's, you know, every blue moon. I don't always get up in the morning and have a big breakfast. So it would defeat the purpose of saying, I'm fasting for breakfast. So I say all of that to point out that when we position ourselves and we're more hungry for God, this leads us to an act of acts of faith. This is just a few ways of reminding me that I need to sow more into the Spirit. That I need to be hungry for God's word more, that I need to hunger for an extra devotion and just listen to God. I need to hunger for a time of praise and worship. Didn't you guys enjoy the praise and worship this morning? The moment you begin to enjoy it because of what we play, what the praise and worship team plays, that's where it's, you know, yellow flag, warning. Don't. It's not us. We are worshiping to the audience of one, God. We pray that you'll learn to come to be prepared to worship to the audience of one. That these songs that we find, that we sing, and the lyrics that we find on the screen, it becomes more than just a song. That's my prayer. Even for myself, it becomes more than just a song. It's a cry of my heart, God, I need you. It's a cry of my heart. Change me. My second point is our responsiveness to God's work sows to the Spirit. Peter had no idea the importance of this trip to Caesarea and an opportunity to share Jesus, to share God's message. Just like the missionaries that we financially and prayerfully support today, God is sending them, and we have the privilege of joining with them, like the foreign said, that we are joining in ministry with them. So we have our moments like that. Peter's availability to go to Cornelius' house was important to God. Let me ask you this. Sometimes this is how we gauge our actions or our decisions for the Lord's work. How important is it right now? Can I do it later? Do I have the time? These are questions that when God is speaking to us, this is how we gauge whether or not we're going to do it. When it all boils down to how hungry are we to actually do it for more of God? But I'm not sure about you, but I've had that thought. Do I have the time? Which has changed, and I've said this before, it has changed how I have approached people when I'm at the store. I have changed my words to where, hey, how are you doing? Because my conviction is, Rick, are you really willing to stand there 15, 20 minutes and hear how they're doing? So don't be a liar. Don't be deceitful. If you're busy and you're doing certain things, then go do them and say, hey, good to see you. Hi, I've done this for myself because I don't want to stand there and listen and not even be there. Some couples understand that feeling, right? You can stand there and the other one's talking and you're not there. I've learned that I need to be the best customer service to my wife, and she needs to be the best customer service to her husband, which is me. Yes, to me. But that is what God's given me. And so I went off on a tangent, but how important is this right now? So we use these questions, engaging our actions, our decisions. Lord, am I going to do what you're calling me to do? This week, wherever you go, I pray God will send you and God will give you someone that when you walk into the building, you walk into the store, it's like a beam of light is hitting that one person. And it might be the person behind you. It might be the person in front of you with 35 items in the under 10 item aisle. That God would say, this is the person I want you to start to have a conversation with. This is a person that needs to hear the gospel. And that you will place yourself in a responsive situation, a responsive state, because you're more hungry for God than anything else. And so our responsiveness to God's work sows to the Spirit. Listen, I am committed to be responsive to the leading of the Holy Spirit because He leads, not me. I don't tell the Holy Spirit, come here, Holy Spirit, come with me. No. I follow the Holy Spirit. He leads me, and He leads me into all truth, is what Scripture says. I do not want to reap corruption. That word corruption in the Strong's definition is decay or ruin. And I say this because Galatians 6 verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall reap from the flesh, reap corruption, ruin, decay. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. That's what I want to get involved in. That's what I want to be hungry for. And I say this not because I've already attained this, but I say this because I want to get there, because I know that's where God wants me to be, so that when he gives me instructions, I'm not coming with a list of excuses, a list of questions. Do I have time? I don't really feel like it. I don't even know that person. I don't even know what to say. And we come up with a long list of excuses. And you know what? We're not placing ourselves in a responsive position to act out in faith and to sow to the Spirit. So I'm not sure about you, but I would assume that all of you want to reap eternal life, that none of us would want to reap decay or ruin. Therefore, we are to become more focused on sowing to the Spirit, becoming effective laborers to the Lord of the harvest. You know, if there was a company and they saw a group of laborers that were just sitting around on the job and just doing nothing and lollygagging and cutting corners, they wouldn't be there very long, would they? Man, how effective are we as the laborers of the Lord in his harvest? Are we sitting on the job? We passing the buck, giving it to somebody else to do it? Are we coming up with a long list of excuses that, well, I'm not the pastor? You don't need to be the pastor to share the gospel of Jesus to somebody. You don't need to be the pastor or a teacher to be able to live the gospel message so that the world would see. As I mentioned before, there is a lot to cover, and I'm not going to have time to read all 48 verses, but my last point is this. All need to hear it, so all need to deliver it. The foreigners, they're delivering it. And according to them, and I'm just so thankful that, I say that they're the heroes, or, I mean, they would probably say, no, we're not the heroes. You guys are, because you're sending us. We're doing this together in ministry, that we're joining together and sharing the gospel, that all need to hear. Acts chapter 10, verse 24. The following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was waiting for them and called together his relatives, his close friends. Why? Well, because they mattered to him. They meant something to him. That he called his family and his close friends. Come to my house. There's some guy that's going to, I don't even know his name, but he's going to come. His name is Peter. He's going to come. Never met him before, but he's going to come and share something that God wants us to hear. Because God told me, he gave me a vision. This is what's going to happen. For whomsoever will hear and believe. Peter explains briefly just how it was unlawful for a Jewish person to even go. But because God gave Peter this vision, Peter was not reluctant. He was willing to go. And it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 30 through 33. Remember I mentioned you having a garden, you have to work. Even before you put that seed in the soil, you're going to have to work in this field. Cornelius said in verse 30, 4 days ago, I was, what? Fasting until this hour, until the time that Peter, you came into my house. 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. Some people are like, 4 hours? Oh, no. This guy was fasting 4 days until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothes and said, Cornelius, your prayer. So he begins to share with Peter the vision that God had given him. You know what? Sacrifices have to be made. If this message that's important to God becomes important to us, we need to make sacrifices. Cornelius was devoted to God and hungry to receive more from God. Peter shares the way, and it is vital for everyone to hear and know. And now Peter is in a situation he's never been in. He's sharing the gospel message to a whole house full of Gentiles. He's probably still thinking, is this really what I'm supposed to do? Anybody ever do that? God leads you to something and you follow and you answer and you still have that fleeing thought and question. Am I really doing what God's wanting me to do? Hey, just take the steps of faith and follow the instruction that God gave you and you're doing all right. And so he says, Acts 10, verse 35, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Verse 38 through 40, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Verse 40, him, Jesus, God raised up on the third day, and showed him openly. Peter was sharing the gospel. These are important parts of this passage, that Jesus was sharing what God was doing to bring salvation to whomsoever would hear, to whomsoever would believe. And then while Peter was speaking, an amazing thing happened, that as Peter spoke, the Holy Spirit fell upon these people. So here's the truth today, today's message, my last slide. Testify who Jesus is and live by his truth. Live by this truth of the gospel message. Today, if you are in a situation where you are desperate for more of God, draw near to him, because he's going to draw near to you and say, Father, forgive me. I have not been more hungry for you. I've been more hungry for other things in this life, and other things in this life do not matter, and other things in this life are not more important than you. So God, forgive me. God, give me a hunger. I want to hunger for more of you. Help me. And God, help me to place myself in a responsive position that when you speak to me, I begin to respond with acts of faith, that I walk out your instructions, because there is a message to deliver and all need to hear it. If you're in dire need of salvation, I want you to know that Jesus is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. And there's no other way to get to heaven but through him. You're in dire need of direction and wisdom. I don't know what to do. I don't know what decision to make. Run to God and say, Father, give me wisdom. He desires for his children to come to him. And God's ears are open to the cries of the righteous. So you are righteous, run to him, call out to him. His ears are open to your cry. If you need wisdom for instruction, for a decision, he wants to give you that wisdom, so that you can walk in the steps that he's already ordained for you to walk in. Or even if God is speaking to you today about a change. One of the things that God has been speaking to this church for months now is God is desiring to do a new thing in us. God is wanting to fill us. God is leading us. And we are not to be afraid. We are to look to him. Surrender daily. And daily make yourself available. What sacrifices are you willing to make? Go ahead and, Joel, just play that video. And I just want to encourage you. If you need prayer for salvation, you come today. You come to God's house and you're not sure that you are a born again believer. Jesus died. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And God raised him from the dead, that we, if we would choose in our hearts to believe that God did raise Jesus from the dead, we shall find salvation in Jesus. So as this song is playing, believers, begin to pray. Begin to pray. If the Holy Spirit has not been speaking to you for a change or for repentance, can I encourage the church, the believers, to begin to pray? There are people that need to make decisions, but they're a little afraid, or they're intimidated, or they're still battling. Oh, should I do this or should I not? Begin to intercede.